But let me read our text tonight. You can read along with me there. And the Bible said in John 18 and verse 1, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden, into the which he entered and his disciples. Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place. For Jesus oftentimes resorted hither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh hither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus saith unto them, I am he. Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he had said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. Therefore you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it, and smote the high priest's servant, and cut off his right ear, and the servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword into the sheath, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band and the captains and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one should die for the people. Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. And that disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus unto the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without, and then went out that other disciple which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou one of this man's disciples? And he saith, I am not. And the servants and officers stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Let's ask the Lord's blessing tonight upon our Bible lesson. Father, we just come tonight and we thank you, Lord, for the blessings of another day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for the Word of God. And Lord, we ask that tonight, Lord, that you'd open up our hearts, and Lord, that the Holy Spirit would help us to focus in on what God's Word's saying. And Lord, please teach us something tonight from God's Word. And Lord, may we get so interested tonight for a few minutes into the Word of God that we'd forget everything else going on around us tonight out in the world. Now, Lord, bless your Word tonight. Help me to be apt to teach. And I pray you'd bless those that are listening tonight, Lord, by the way of the live streaming. And may the Bible study be a blessing to all of us tonight, Lord. Ask you to forgive me of my sins and failures, and use me tonight for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. All right, we're going to begin our study here tonight on what follows after the arrest of Jesus. But by the way of introduction tonight, before we actually get into what happened after they arrested Jesus, I just want to say a few things tonight and point them out. And one of them I want you to know is that they knew the place, they knew where to arrest Jesus. The Bible said that, verse 2, and Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus often resorted there. And so Jesus was a person that was a person of discipline, and certain things he did each day and each time of the week because he was a disciplined person. And you and I, as believers following the Lord, we're called disciples, and disciple means a disciplined one. And you and I, we need to have some places in our life that are so regular with us that folks would know were to find us if they were looking for us. They knew that Jesus prayed oftentimes here, and so they knew right where to go at that time of the day. And you and I, we need some customs and habits that are so disciplined in our life that every day that we would do the same thing, like reading the Bible or praying and things like that in our Christian life. Jesus was definitely a person of discipline. In Luke 4 and verse 16, the Bible said his custom was that he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day. In other words, Jesus had some awful good habits. We all seem like we have a problem of picking up bad habits. Bad habits seem to be a lot easier to pick up than good habits. But the best thing to do with bad habits is to replace them with some good habits. And make it a habit to pray every day. Make it a habit to read the Word of God every day. Make it a habit to go to the house of God. Of course, right now we're not able to do that because of the current situation, which we hope is going to change real soon. But we ought to have such a custom in our life of going to the house of God. The last 29 days should be odd to you if you're the kind of Christian you ought to be. On Wednesday night, you ought to be sitting there thinking, I ought to be in church tonight. And the last three or four Sunday mornings and Sunday nights, you ought to felt kind of strange when you was at home on Sunday night instead of at the house of God. Of course, we can't help that right now, and we all understand that, but I'm just saying that those times ought to have been such a habit in our life that we miss them when we're not able to do them right now. The Bible said in John 18 and 2, said Jesus oftentimes resorted to a certain place, as I have already said. He resorted there to pray. And we know from John 6 and 10 that Jesus also had a habit of every time that he would eat bread or take a meal, that he would always ask blessings over that meal. And you and I ought to have that kind of habit in our life. I'm reminded of a little boy that was raised in a very good Christian home, godly parents, godly mom, and raised in a good Christian home, and they had prayer and Bible study and church attendance, and of course, thank God for all the meals when they'd eat. And the little boy stayed all night with a friend from school one night, and they wasn't that way. And when they went to eat, the family began to eat, no blessings said. And the little boy just sat there. And the lady asked the little boy, said, son, is there something wrong with the food? And he said, no, ma'am. He said, nobody said blessings yet. And she said, well, we don't do that around here. Do you understand that? And he thought for a minute, and he said, yes, ma'am. He said, you're like my dog. He don't say them either. And so we all ought to say blessings over our food and be in a habit of doing that. A brother, a friend of mine, he sent me a documentary on Andrew Jackson that I've been watching this week. Brother Travis Alltop sent it to me, and I've been watching it. And Andrew Jackson was, which I've read a lot on him, and he was a man of constant prayer. But it was said that Andrew Jackson said that I never take a drink of water during the day that I don't stop and thank God for the water of life. Well, I wished I could say that I'm that thankful. I'm working on it. But we all need to be thankful for the blessings that God has given to all of us. And so not only did he have a place there where he always went, but he also, I want you to notice here before we get to our text, I want you to notice his protection over his disciples in John 18:8. They'd all just come from the garden of prayer, and Peter, James, and John were in there with him, and he picked the rest of them up on the way out. And so when they come to arrest the Lord, the Bible said Jesus asked them in verse 7, said, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus answered, I've told you that I'm he. If therefore you seek me, let these go their way. And so we see the Lord's protection. I'm sure glad the Lord watches out for you, and I'm glad the Lord watches out for me. And the Lord said, just let these go. I'm the one you want, so let them go. And isn't that what happened in our salvation? The Lord went to the cross, and God took his wrath out upon him, and he suffered for our sins, but we got to go free. And it's pictured so very well in the Word of God with Barabbas. And Barabbas could have been one to die that day when one man would be chosen to die for the sins of the people. But they chose Jesus instead of Barabbas. And so Barabbas got to go free. And that's the way it is with me and you, my friend. If you're saved tonight, that Jesus took our punishment on the cross, but you and I got to go free. What a Savior. Not only do we see how he was watching out for us, you know, Jesus was our elder brother, and he's watching out for us. And used to they'd say big brother, meaning the government, big brother is watching out for you. Well, I don't know how well we can count on big brother to watch out for us, but I'm glad that my elder brother Jesus is watching out for me and watching out for you. The Bible said that we see here not only that he had a place where he went, not only do we see his protection there of his disciples, but we see the power of the Word of God. John 18:6, the Bible said they come to arrest the Lord, and the Bible said as soon as he said, I am he, just three words, he said, I am he. As soon as he said that, the Bible said they went backwards and fell to the ground. That's the power of the Word of God. Now, this book has power to deal with our hearts and to change us and to convict us. And thank God for the power of the Word of God. Now, we come now to our verses tonight that we want to study tonight there in John 18 and verse 12. And we're looking now where Jesus is brought before the high priest. John 18:12, the Bible said, then the band and the captain and the officers of the Jews, they took Jesus and bound him. Always amazes me how afraid that they were of one man. How afraid that they were of Jesus. The Bible says in John 18 that there was a band of them, but we know from all the other places when we studied out in the Gospels, we know there were 500 to 600 people that came to arrest the Lord. The Bible said they came with weapons, they came with torches, they came with lanterns, and all of these to arrest one man. And no doubt Judas had told them about the things that Jesus had done and the power that Jesus had illustrated and demonstrated in his ministry. And they knew that Jesus was no ordinary man. The Bible said they came, and of course we know it was night because Judas had betrayed the Lord after the Last Supper, and the Bible said that Jesus told him what he had to do, to go do quickly, and the Bible said he went out, and it was night. And so we know it was a night time, and that's why when they came and they had lanterns, and the Bible said they had lanterns and torches. And here they come. What an amazing thing that they come with lamps and lanterns and torches, and they come with artificial light to arrest the light of the world. Now, one commentary brought out a real good point there, bless my heart, and it said these people were all sinners. None of them knew the Lord. None of them knew who the Lord was, and Judas had to come, and Judas had to plant a kiss on him to let him know who he was. And so they come with artificial light. Well, one writer said, and I think it's good, he said that you cannot find the light of the world with natural light. It takes more than natural light to find he that's the light of the world. Remember when Peter came back and Jesus said, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And he said, well, Lord, some say thou art Elias, or others Jeremiah, one of the prophets. And he said, who do you say I am? And he said, well, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Did you know tonight that I believe tonight that you nor I tonight could know who the Lord is without divine help. And I'm sure glad for the Holy Spirit of God and the divine Word of God, that one day through the preaching of the Word of God, that it helped me to know who Jesus is. And I'm glad that I know who Jesus is tonight. I hope you do. The Bible said they came and they arrested Jesus and they bound him. Now, you and I both know that with the power that Jesus had already displayed, that had he not wanted them to bind him, there's no way they could have bound him. We know that even on the cross, he said, "You think I couldn't call to my heavenly Father?" And he would send 10 legions of angels to take me down from the cross. But you see, you don't have to bind somebody that's submissive. You don't have to bind somebody that's willing to follow anyway. And the Bible said in Isaiah 53:9, it said that Jesus was brought as a lamb to the slaughter. Judas had told them what he had seen and the power that he had seen. And so they bound Jesus. But Jesus didn't need to be bound because he willingly was going to go to the cross and lay down his life. In verse 13 there in your Bible, if you'll look and read it there, it said, "And led him away to Annas first, for he was the father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest." The same year, John 18:14 said, "Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people." Now, two things we want to notice here in these verses in verse 13 and 14. And first of all, we want to notice the lowliness of Jesus. Jesus allowed them to arrest him and to bind him. He could have easily got away, as he had done oftentimes when they were going to stone him, and at other times, because his time was not yet come. But Jesus knew it was now time for him to go and to die on the cross, and he allowed them to arrest him. He humbled himself like a lamb. He lowered himself. Second, we see his complete submission before human authority. And he realized that this human authority had been given by God. According to Romans 13, the powers that be are ordained of God. And Jesus submitted himself to these human authorities. Now, you do not find in the Bible, you don't find Jesus or the apostles or even Paul wasting time talking about the leaders of their day, even though how bad they were. They spent their time preaching the gospel. You don't find them rebelling or rioting against the government. Now, Jesus did say one time that Herod, he called him a fox, and Peter and John in Acts 4:19, Peter and John answered to the officials there, and they said unto them, "Were it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you judge." In other words, they said, "We're going to obey God, and you'll have to decide whether it's right or whether it's wrong." It sometimes can be very difficult to find out what God's will is and what the government is. Sometimes it can be very difficult to know if you're following the government is not following God. So sometimes those decisions are very hard, have to be prayed about and sought about. But here's the thing about it. Jesus gives us an example here, as did Paul and Peter and John. He gives us an example there that even in rebellion, even in circumstances where that they couldn't go along with the government, they always conducted themselves in a way that would not harm the testimony of God or the church. And that's the way it needs to be. I remember years ago, I wasn't acquainted with Brother Broughton at that time, and it was before I knew him. But Brother Broughton, they brought some charges against him because at that time they had you had to have a license, an occupational license, if you were self-employed. And of course, all ministers are listed self-employed by the IRS. And so you had to purchase an occupational tax. And Brother Noah didn't feel like it was the right thing to do to get a tax, to pay, get a license to preach the gospel, and he wouldn't get one. And during his camp meeting one year, they came down, arrested Brother Noah. I wasn't there, but a friend of mine was there. And he said, Brother Rick, he said, through the whole thing, Brother Noah was a gentleman all the way through. He said the police and the state troopers were apologizing to him for having to arrest him. And Brother Broughton was very nicely telling them, you've got your job to do, and I've got mine. Don't you worry about that. You're just doing your job. And in all that, he maintained a good testimony that stands until this day. And so when it comes to matters like that, we may have to go against the government to follow God, but we should also always do it in a way that would bring glory and honor to God and the church. John 18:15, now we go into to what we want to look at tonight. And the Bible said Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest and went in with Jesus unto the palace of the high priest. Now at first glance, this looks like a good thing. It looks like that Peter is trying to follow the Lord. And he is. We know from Matthew 26:58 that he was following afar off, though, even though he was a following the Lord. And so it looks like it'd be a good thing always to follow the Lord. And so the way looks like it's good, but when we take a real close look, it's not. We find back in verse 8 that we read that Jesus said, arrest me, but let these go their way. So really, Peter was following the Lord afar off, but he was really following him in disobedience. The Lord had already fixed it so that they could go their way. It's never right to obey the Lord by disobeying the Lord. Now, this seemed to be a hard lesson for Peter to learn. When we look at the life of Peter in Matthew 14, when all the disciples are in the storm, in the boat, Jesus is on the mountaintop teaching, and Jesus has put them in that boat, directed them to the other side. Of course, the great storm comes, and Peter is made famous for walking on the water. But a close example of that will show that Peter was really out of the will of God. And even though he exerted faith and walked out on the water, he began to sink. And Jesus took Peter and took him right back to the boat and put him in the boat where he had told him to stay in the beginning. And Peter seemed to be a little headstrong. He was always a little bit hard-headed. And we remember in Luke 22 and 31 through 34, we know the Lord had told him, Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have thee that he might sift thee as wheat. But he said, I prayed for thee that thy faith faileth not. Again, Peter thinking he knew a little bit more than the Lord, and I've been like that. I'm sure you've been like that. And Peter thought he knew a little bit better than the Lord. Of course, we find out here in a few verses that the Lord knew just exactly what he was talking about. But even here, we know the Lord had provided a way for Peter to escape if he wanted to. Because when they come to arrest him, he said, take me and let these go their way. But Peter, unlike the others, Peter followed the Lord afar off, and he wanted to follow the Lord and see what was going to happen. But the Lord had provided a way that this we're about to read that didn't have to never happen, because the Lord had provided a way out. Of course, the Lord knew it would happen because the Lord knows all things. But in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, the Bible said, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you might be able to bear it. So the Bible tells us with all of our temptations that God will always make a way to escape. The Lord will have a door there, but he won't drag you through the door. You'll have to make the right decision. All right, verse 16, the Bible said, but Peter stood at the door without. And boy, there's a lot of people standing right there today. Jesus is a door, and a lot of people are standing at the door, but without. But then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door and brought Peter in. Now, let us look at what we just read here, and I think we see some things here. Number one, we see that Peter's love made him cautiously follow afar off. There's no doubt Peter loved the Lord. No doubt he meant every word he said when he said, "Lord, though all men forsake thee, I never will." He said, "I'm willing to die for you." No doubt Peter meant every word of that at the time he said it. But the truth of it is that none of us know exactly what we're going to do and how we're going to respond to temptation until we actually face it. And so we see here that that the Bible said he followed afar off. He loved the Lord enough to follow afar off, but his cowardice made him ashamed to confess who the Lord was. Haven't you been there with mixed emotions? I know, especially when you first get saved, you love the Lord, but you haven't grown enough to really take a real stand for the Lord, and you might be asked to give a testimony or something, and you love the Lord, but you just don't have enough spiritual strength and stamina to stand up and witness for the Lord in a public place. I'm reminded of a young man just got saved in a tent meeting, and he was there in that tent meeting, and it came time for testimony time, and the young man stood up to try to give a testimony. Being weak in the faith and young in the faith, he began to cry, and he sat back down. And a man behind him punched him and said, "Boy," said, "you ought to be ashamed of yourself." And the young boy looked up at the man, and he said, "Sir, I am ashamed of myself, but I'm not ashamed of him." I tell you, that's the way you and I ought to be. If there's anybody to be ashamed of, it ought not be the Lord. If we're ashamed of him in this wicked and adulterous generation, then he will be ashamed of us when we stand before the Son of Man. Number two, I want you to notice that there at the door, the doorkeeper, it was not a big, rough Roman guard. It was not a big, rough-talking Roman soldier that was towering over Peter and talking down to Peter. But the Bible said it was a damsel, just a damsel, just a young maiden. Now, when we are out of God's will and we're following afar off, it don't take much to make us be afraid. That's why we need to follow the Lord close. That's why that you and I need to stay where we need to be with the Lord, because we're living in such a time when it could come down to you and I may someday have to make a public announcement of our faith to the Lord in front of maybe officials, or we could be arrested or something to that effect. And are we going to have what it takes to stand for the Lord? Well, we won't have if we're falling afar off, and we won't have if we're not in the will of God. Number three, I want to back up just a little bit here, and you notice back there just a few verses back, the Bible said that there was another disciple. And then we read in verse 16, it said that other disciple, that it went out. The other disciple didn't stay with Peter. Now, I've studied a lot on this, and many of the commentators, they want to make this other disciple John. But I'm not going to agree with them. I'm going to agree with Arthur Pink tonight and what his notes said. And Arthur Pink said he didn't think it was John because, number one, John always refers to himself as that disciple whom Jesus loved. And he didn't do that here. He didn't do that. And then number two, John would have not known the high priest. You see, this other disciple, he knew the high priest, and it was through means by him speaking that got Peter inside the palace. And so Arthur Pink says that he thinks that more than likely it was Joseph of Arimathea or Nicodemus. And I think that could have very well been. So we look here in John 18, verse 17. The Bible said, "Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? And he saith, I am not." And so here we got 12 disciples. We've got 10 of them have forsaken the Lord and run off. We know one of them has sold the Lord out for covetousness, $19.20. Judas sold the Lord for because of covetousness. And then the 12th disciple, Peter, here, he denies the Lord because of cowardice. Now, I want to ask you a question tonight as we come to the close of our Bible study tonight. I want to ask you this question tonight. Let's don't judge Peter too hard just yet. He sees him arrest the Lord. Here's mocking the Lord and spitting upon the Lord and all the things that our Lord went through. And Peter's standing there watching that from afar off. And so he denies the Lord. He said, I don't know him. Well, what would you have done? What would I have done under those certain circumstances? And we might say, well, you know, Peter's relatively young. I mean, the Lord's only had a 3-year ministry. And so Peter couldn't have been much more than 3 years old in his spiritual walk with the Lord. So he's still young. And so we might pass it off as, well, he's young and just hadn't got the faith to really stand for the Lord at this time. And he's not like old Polycarp. Polycarp, he was a disciple of John. Read about him. And he was the bishop of Smyrna Church. We read about in Revelations. And it says that during that time of persecution that they came up to the house where Polycarp lived and they knocked on the door. And when the old man come to the door, they had a statue there of Caesar, Nero. And they said, bow down and worship this statue and deny the Lord. And old Polycarp, being 86 years old, Polycarp looked at that and he said this. He said, 86 years have I served him and he's done me no wrong. I sure won't deny him now. And boy, I hope that could be the testimony that I could have and you could have if we're ever put to the test, that we wouldn't deny our Lord. But we can't throw it all at youth. We can't say, well, Peter was just young in the faith. And I want to end with this thought tonight. It's been a while, you may have forgot it, but on April the 20th, 1999, at Columbine High School, there was two men went in there, Eric Harris and Dylan Keybold, and they murdered 12 students and one teacher. There was a young girl there in that school, Casey Bunnell, and they came up to her and they put a gun to her head, and the way the story goes, and they were asked her, they asked her, do you believe in God? And she answered, yes. And that was the last words that she ever spoke. And there was a young lady that had faith, believed in the Lord, and when it come down to standing for the Lord, she had what it took to stand for the Lord. And no doubt she made her stand for the Lord and went home and's with the Lord now. And that would border upon a martyr's crown for a young lady with that kind of faith. Well, you and I are living in a day and an hour in which that we need to have strong faith for the Lord. We don't need to deny our Lord because He never has denied us. I hope tonight, this little Bible study tonight, how the Word of God gives us some truths about our Lord. We could study a lot of things tonight, and certainly a lot of things are needful tonight, but I can't think of anything more needful to be studied tonight than to study our Lord. Oh, what a Savior. Thank God that we have a Savior like the Lord Jesus Christ that's watching over you and watching over me. We hope you got a blessing tonight, and if you're out there tonight and you're not saved and you don't know the Lord, that's why He went through what He went through. That's why He went to Calvary's cross and laid His life down. And that's why that He suffered and tossed in agony on the cross and gave His life's blood that you and I might be saved. I hope that you'll think about that. The Bible said if you'll feel after the Lord, He's not very far from any one of you, you'll find Him. If you're a lost sinner looking for a Savior, He's a Savior looking for lost sinners. It shouldn't take you long to get together and to be saved. I hope you do. I hope you let somebody know if you're not saved. And I want to say tonight, God bless you. And we hope you'll be listening in this coming Sunday morning. May the Lord be with you.